Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Ooh, Happy Monday to all y'all out there in this fine, fine city.
I think it's
the war zone out there.
There you go. I think it's the closest I've been ready to like actually start the show.
You were so close to having your headphones in.
Yeah, they're always so tricky. They're always so tricky. I had everything else ready, logged into everything else ready to go. Oh, look at you. Speaking of not ready.
I hate Sprague.
He always turns the volume up on his computer.
I hate Sprague. Yeah, I'm going to write a note to myself.
Maybe you should write the note to Sprague.
No, if he needs to use it, he needs to use it.
Well, we all know he's deaf.
Yeah,
because
probably.
The computer is both cranked up and so are his headphones.
You are always so close to being ready. The headphones are never in on time.
It's
never
one
in
of
on
them
time.
Always just kind of the for those that don't know, I wear like tuck over the ear in-ear headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just slide them on. So you got to get them just right. Otherwise, I'm sitting here fiddling with them for the first 20 minutes of the show because, well, during commercials, I pop them out every single time because the commercials in my ear are a billion decibels.
That's why I go with cans.
Yeah.
I love the cans.
Ever since I switched to earbuds, I can't go back.
I spent 10 years at this station with pods in.
I mean, I've got my Apple ones that I have all the time. I have to put one in and to listen to something in right now because I'm driving the old truck and it doesn't connect to my cell phone because it's a 2008 and I'm like, oh crap, I can't listen to anything.
Why are you driving the old truck?
The car has it happened. You weren't hosting. It was Dusty and I were still together. I literally had a day where I was on my way in. You remember this, Rust? When I was like, I can't go anywhere. Like my car just lost all power because the cat got backed up. And the car's a 2018, 2019, and it did like that, all the tests and everything, but for whatever reason, particles like build up in the cat, and I put a new one in. Well, it did it again. So we found there's two cats on this car. So we have to.
Talking about catalytic converters?
Yeah, catalytic converters. Okay. So,
excuse the idiot car guy.
Meow.
Over here.
We remember Danny's story about the kittens and the lawnmower. So,
yeah. Do you know the kitten and the lawnmower story?
Meow.
No.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
I'm good.
Yeah, cat had kittens inside a lawnmower bag.
I'm good.
Neighbor kid fired it up.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. No mas.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No mas.
You get it there. That kid was traumatized.
Meow.
So, meow. Or it was meow.
I said no mas.
Okay, I went too
far.
That
means no more.
I went too far. Have you ever had somebody say something to you where they didn't mean it mean?
Nah, man.
But it came across as like a, well, damn.
I believe you get your ass kicked for saying something like that.
So I was with somebody this weekend, and we're talking about wardrobe. And asked me, do you ever wear pants? Of which the answer is no. I am wearing them right now, but
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Much appreciated over here.
Yeah, well, I wear shorts. But I dress like a toddler. I'm very much a athleisure pant short human with either a polo or Henley or.
I worked with Mike Lynch for 8 years. Yeah. He's the exact same life.
Yes,
he's the same life.
At one point in time, I dressed very nicely, and then I realized I spent a lot of money on this, and it's not doing me anything right now. So, and then it all got stolen by somebody driving a semi truck. So here we are. But I've lost a metric crap ton of weight, so none of my clothes fit. If you've watched the show over the last few months, you'll see that I'm wearing basically the same thing because none of my clothes fit. They're either enormous or I have a section of my closet that's still like the in-shape me clothes that I held on to because they're nice and they're expensive.
I got some of that too. Like I haven't fully let go of stuff because I'm like, you know, one day I'm going to lose weight and fit into that.
Well, the thing is I have, and I'm almost there to where it like, if I put it on now,
God bless
like,
you. I am not close.
I mean, I've lost a whole person damn near. So, I mean, I got fat as hell there for a while, but, I tried to confirm what the exact line was because we were talking about it the other night and then I'm an idiot and I forgot. But, so something along the lines of, I don't know. You just have like, it's like an unflattering neckline. And that was their way of saying that.
Come again?
Yeah. Like the shoulders weren't kind of sitting right and things were like, like just because the shirts I was wearing were baggy. I was like, well, you want to go shopping with me? And they're like, well, yeah.
Ooh.
So.
Free shopping partner.
Yeah. I might have to change up the style. Maybe I'll go full cowboy.
Hmm.
Thinking big belt buckle.
I'm thinking about switching to full on Portlander fall winter guy. Like vests and
Like that's a stretch for you?
It's not a stretch, but I don't but I don't dress that way.
I thought we were changing things here.
No, it's not a stretch, but I don't dress that way.
You really should twirl the mustache.
He's just thinking about moving down the street a touch.
Yeah.
It's a great point. I am growing a beard too.
You and me both.
I'm growing a beard.
You and me both.
Yep, I've decided I'm growing a beard. The five of us were having breakfast yesterday morning, and I said, well, because I need to shave my head mostly, and I haven't done it because I'm growing out the beard, and I'm waiting for this to get a little more full, and then I will shave the head and go just beard. And so I was telling the wife
Are we tapering? Or are we just going straight, like straight hard beard?
I haven't decided.
Okay.
I haven't decided. I might do the taper. It depends on how it looks.
Because that's where I'm in between right now, because I did the skin fade.
Mm-hmm.
And so the area above the beard right now is shorter than the top of the beard. And I need to find how we do the blend here.
So I had a moment when I was telling the wife, and all three kids are sitting at the island and we're having breakfast. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about growing a beard. And the wife goes, ooh, I like that. And then my middle kid, she says, oh, no, please don't. Please don't. And I go, it'll look good. I promise. And the wife goes, yeah, if you're lucky, you'll get another sibling.
Oh.
And I went, babe, you can't say that in front of our children.
Oh.
You can't be talking about doing the nasty and the pasty.
I mean, if you want to make the kids uncomfortable, certainly it's a way to go.
Did I ever tell you the story about what my youngest said once to mom?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Mom, I know how many times you've had sex. And she goes, oh, really? He's 8 at the time.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, really? And he goes, yep. Once for the first kid,
mm-hmm.
twice for the second kid, third time for me,
mm-hmm.
and once with Patrick for fun. It's like the mind of a child. The mind of a child.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Nailed it. Nailed
Explains.
It.
Yeah, there you go.
I know. My wife tries so hard, too, to keep things very PC in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then she puts on Modern Family. I'm like, this is the most sexually fueled sitcom show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's not. Turned on a new episode, and I was like, I'm going to count. I think before the like intro theme song started playing, mm-hmm. I counted 8 references. I was like, this is not appropriate for children.
I still, my favorite episode, and I know I've said it a few times on here, it's like Claire and Phil's anniversary or something, and so the kids are making them breakfast in bed.
Yep.
And they go barge in unannounced, and they drop the food and close the door, and one of the sisters asks, what's going on? Luke goes, I don't know, but whatever it was, I think Dad was winning.
Dad was winning. Dad's always winning.
It's a fun game to win.
Dad's always
winning.
I mean,
to be honest, it's a fun game to lose.
Yeah, it's kind of like pizza, man. Even bad pizza's got a time and place.
Yeah, does.
I'll eat bad pizza all day.
Right? Right?
I think they're the most in-line comparisons of stuff you can find.
It's like an ill-fitting.
It's like pizza, man. Like great pizza's awesome. And bad pizza, I'm still eating pizza.
It's like an ill-fitting neckline.
Yeah.
You know?
Ill-fitting neckline.
It's like, come on now.
Yeah, I saw this thing that somebody asked, what is it called when you're really smart but make really terrible decisions all the time?
Me.
Yeah, I know. I think it was I think it was a me IRL sort of situation there. I was like, yeah, I am a very intelligent person. I just do not show it off very well.
No, not at all.
I misrepresent myself all the time.
Oh, no, I represent myself quite well. I'm the smartest. I'm the dumbest smart guy you'll ever meet.
I'd rather be a smart dumb guy.
It's a good place to be. Yeah, yeah. It's a really good place to
be. Being a smart dumb guy is awesome.
Yeah, being a dumb smart guy. Oof,
I know you're in the back of the line.
It's really
tough. The nicer line, but it's the back of the line.
It's like, you know, I got a 15-10 on my SATs in high school. Like I maxed out my ASVAB. Like,
I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, I did. I have multiple degrees in mathematics. I have multiple international studies degrees. Like that kind of stuff, I'm very smart with. But everything else?
Life? That's a struggle. Life is a struggle. Oakley doakley. Well, we got a great show lined up for you today. There's a lot to get to. A lot of fun happened over the weekend. We're going to play the fun game of what to do with. Fill in the blank. There's a lot going on. We're going to actually, I've got a little hockey caveat to get to today. That'll be a little bit of fun, but a heavy, heavy football. We'll throw in a little bit of baseball as the playoffs have started and have been wildly entertaining. No matter who you're rooting for, things are entertaining. We had a great conversation with Boss Man Cooley, resident Red Sox fan here at the station about why the Yankees stink. So there's just a lot to get to, but where we're going to start, I'm actually going to get out of here early this segue because I want to open up the room because we all need to have a serious conversation. What to do with James Franklin. Hi. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swagalicious.
I have to derail this very quickly. Fan text line. Danny claims to be smart, but can't even figure out how to properly weigh down bodies in the river. First of all, where do we go, Rust? Do we go to the river?
Of course not.
No, we go to the ocean. We go to an open body of water, and we don't go to rivers.
Because more creatures will eat it?
Well, you have 80% of the world is ocean.
Yeah.
So you go out.
And then that's when you properly weight them down.
And then you properly weight them down. Yeah. And number two, if you're going to put them in bags, which you should do, you open holes in them so that the critters can do their business. Because that was the problem. You think about Dexter. He sealed the bags. That's how they were able to find all the bodies.
I didn't watch the show.
You didn't watch Dexter? Mm-hmm. I think we're past the point of spoiling anything here. He used to dispose the bodies in the ocean. And he weighted them and took them down, but he put them in bags that were sealed. Mm. So when they got down there and they eventually got, they were able to, you know, rescue them and find all of them and then identify them. You got to open up the bags so that nature can run its course.
10:16 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We're live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line, as Danny was just referring to. There's youtube.com/1051thefan. You can check us out there. There is a chat feature there, and we usually like to have a good time in there. So come join us. Hang out with us. It'll be a good
also,
day.
I said 80% of the world is ocean. It's 71%. Thank you on the YouTubes. It's 80% of the world is water.
Is water. Oh, including like lakes and rivers and stuff like that. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So there you go.
I follow a lot more now. I asked this question, and I know later this hour we will get to some Oregon State stuff, but I asked this question to Andrew Dirt Johnson, not programs, like I know where they sit program-wise, but who is having a worse season this year the Oregon State Beavers or the Penn State Nittany Lions. And without a drop, he said Penn State by far. James Franklin and Penn State lose to UCLA 42-37 in LA in a game that honestly wasn't that close. Penn State made a second half surge, but they were down 27-7 at halftime.
Yeah, I was at Fan Fest, and I went, you know, I'm doing, you know, pregame stuff and get set up in media, and I go, what?
Yeah, I was watching Texas, Florida at that time, and I looked over at it because I was like, I'm not going to watch Penn State, UCLA. I don't have the bandwidth for this. I'll check the box score later and see what the hell's going on. And I'm with you. I saw that. And the best part is Danny texts me. What did you text me? What did you say about James Franklin after they lose an insanely embarrassing, the worst loss in the history of Penn State?
I take back all the nice things I said about Franklin.
And my answer was, bye. To borrow a phrase from you. This is a bad, bad situation here in Penn State. We're going to get into Texas as well later on, but I did not have on my bingo sheet, you know, every year a top 10 team finishes the year unranked.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have Penn State as that team.
I mean,
I want to live in a world where nothing surprises me.
Yeah,
but I did not have Penn State on that list.
They could run the rest of the table
and get ranked again. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you think they're going to beat Ohio State?
That's true. I forgot about the Ohio State.
You think they're going to beat Indiana?
God.
At this point, I mean, it's at home. Yeah. But at this point, do you really look? I think the spread for this Oregon Indiana game, which we'll spend a lot of this week talking about, is that's the big game coming up. Is egregious. I think it's a little high and maybe not giving Indiana the right respect.
Yeah.
Maybe I think Russ said it best when we were doing show prep. He was like, I think that's given Autzen a ton of credit, which they might deserve.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bag on that, but I think that line's a little rough for me to look at from a first glance. And we'll get into more of that all week, but Penn State with how this is going down just looks so egregious to the point that they're not beating Ohio State. And Indiana at home, look, even if that spread is correct in the Indiana-Oregon game, there is no way to me that I believe Indiana has a better chance right now to go into Penn State and win than Oregon did. And we both picked Oregon to win that game.
Yeah.
That's where we sit right now. This program, the program's not dead, but this season is lost. It is gone.
Yeah.
And I know we talk about like two lost teams are going to get in the playoff, but like
if they ran the table, they're fine.
If they run the table, they're fine because they'll have beaten Ohio State. They will have beaten Indiana, but two losses might not get you into the Big Ten title game.
It might not get you in the title game, it'll get you in the playoff.
But it'll get you in the playoff.
No.
But we keep saying
Notre Dame lost to freaking Northern Illinois, man.
I know, but we keep saying a two-loss team can get in. Eventually, we're going to have too many two-loss teams.
Yeah.
And this
loss... But if you beat Ohio State and Indiana...
But this loss... And then, fair. But if there's a Notre Dame team, if Notre Dame and Penn State finish the year both with two losses, I might put in Notre Dame over Penn State.
I mean,
because this loss to UCLA,
that would happen.
But this loss to UCLA is so egregious. And it's not that I would put Notre Dame in... Because they're the brand that I know that's what you're kind of leaning towards. That's what the media would do because of the brand of Notre Dame. But I would honestly, I like them better right now than Penn State because they didn't lose. They didn't give up 42 points to what I thought was one of the worst Power Four teams in the nation.
I mean, Power Four, it 100%.
It's like them and Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And that team is in shambles right now. You just fired the greatest coach in your program's history.
And there's a note here to take from this, too, is that Deshaun Foster was a god-awful coach.
God-awful.
I mean, this
that just shows you.
Yeah, and look, you're going to get, number one, the coach bounce.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a little bit of juice.
Talk about it in Premier League all the time.
Yeah, it happens pretty much everywhere. And I think that definitely played a part in UCLA coming out and dropping 27 on them in the first half. And then it got scary hours. But Nico went out there and just ran all over them.
Nico was Nico. Why the hype was there on him?
300 yards, 5 touchdowns.
This team is littered with so much talent that there are moments in which you overlook a squad, especially coming off a rough loss and flying all the way across the country. And I get that. You know, Penn State, USC last year, you know, that was a weird game.
Yeah.
Penn State flies all the way across the nation. I think they were better than USC, but that score in that game
was not
indicative.
Well, USC was winning until Tyler Warren decided, I'm going to be the best player on this field and do insane things over and over and over again.
Exactly. So sometimes that weird stuff happens, but Penn State, had better talent than USC last year, and that and they prevailed and won that game. That's
every,
how I
every
figured,
team has one of those.
That's how I figured this game would be, even at halftime at 27-10, whatever it was. And it never happened.
Well,
how does that defense play that good against Oregon? At home, in the lights, that good against Oregon, and put up that against UCLA.
Oregon fans are not going to like this. Your win does not look nearly as good right now, and it hurts you.
It's huge, dude.
It hurts you.
I don't like to play the
well, Oregon just went out and beat them twice.
I don't like the transitive property thing.
But
it kills your it kills your win.
Yeah.
It really does.
I mean,
and we'll get to Miami tomorrow, but Miami jumps you in it. That's a no-brainer. That's not a bash on Oregon. That's a no-brainer because now the Penn State loss looks meh. And it was that close? You went to double overtime with that team?
And UCLA, this is the thing out of this game that is just mind-blowing. UCLA ran the ball 52 times. The only teams in the country that do that have American flags on their jerseys. It's Army, Navy, and Air Force. That is it.
Nico had 130 yards on the ground.
That's what I mean. Like, they ran 52 for 280. So not only did they run the ball 52 times, they averaged 5.5 yards a carry. That is a soul-snatching defeat. And this is a Penn State defense that is supposed to be very good.
Yeah, I want to back this up real quick, though. Back to the Oregon point. I am not playing transitive property. I'm not. I think,
but that's what's going to happen.
I think that defense at Penn State is really, really good. And they brought their everything against Oregon. And that was a top five matchup, as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I give Penn State a ton of credit in that game. They are one of the best teams in the nation. But you cannot go into the Rose Bowl and put up a performance like that.
Nope.
Even if you lose, you can't lose the way they lost. And no, you can't even do that. You cannot lose to UCLA. You can't. I don't care if you're flying across the country. I don't care if there's a new coach bounce. I don't care about any of that. You cannot do that. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Is there any way that Penn State loses to Ohio State and Franklin keeps his job? I think 3 losses making fire him close. 4 losses is almost a guarantee. I think he'll escape the Ohio State loss. But at the end of the season, they're going to have a real conversation. If they lose to Indiana as well, I don't know if he survives the Indiana.
Which is insane when you think about it.
Yeah. If he loses to Indiana, I don't know if he survives
that. They went to the college football playoff last year and won 2 games.
They were in Final 4.
Like, you can say, well, the path, I don't care.
Yeah. Still won the games.
And here's the thing, man. How many teams around the country have a better coach than James Franklin?
Not many.
If you're doing that, you better... Number one, have a guy in mind, and it's a done deal. And number two, that guy better deliver real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. And I'm not you can't make a move because you're scared. You just better have a dude. Because
you better.
You can be critical of Franklin, and you rightfully should, but the bar is pretty damn high.
It is.
It's pretty damn high.
It is. Franklin's put Penn State back where it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Back where it was before I was born. In the 40 years Joe Pa was there, Franklin has put them back there. But Joe Pa won
the
games.
The Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter, all the great Penn State teams. When
LeVar Arrington.
Like, those teams,
I mean, and even the current stuff, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, those were good teams. Mm-hmm. And Franklin has put them back on the map. But eventually you start asking yourself that question. You know, LSU's going to deal with this until they win another natty post Orgeron. And Orgeron, I would argue, I don't want to say they got lucky, but they were in the right place, right time with one of the most talented rosters. But LSU post Saban and Les Miles is looking real tough. Like, when do we say no? When is this enough? Everyone deals with it. I think a lot of people are talking about Kiffin's going to be at Ole Miss forever because they love him there. No, he won't. Bo Pelini got fired for winning 9 games every year at Nebraska. Every year, and he got fired.
And he had, what, 2 10-win seasons?
Yeah. Like, every year he was good, and they weren't having it because eventually these programs, whether they have real, delusions or...
Well, that's the thing, is they had the delusions of grandeur.
Or real expectations. Yeah. Eventually you ask yourself, we're never getting there, and that creates a problem. And Franklin, like, the clock is on, brother. The clock is on. What?
Which is insane.
You are now fighting for your job.
You shouldn't be.
You shouldn't, but you are. We can argue whether you should or shouldn't be, but crazy. He is. The national narrative is screaming about James Franklin right now. It's the number one story in my book.
I disagree with Dirt as far as like who's having a worse year, but I get that loss to UCLA is god-awful.
It's really bad. I think Wazoo beats UCLA.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you
and we're going to get smoked by Ole Miss this weekend.
I mean, can you imagine losing to a team like App State?
That's rough.
Oh, wait.
I don't have that.
That happened, and nobody got fired. But like, you know, the App State Michigan game, it happened. Mm-hmm. Didn't cost somebody a job immediately. You know, it's like it wasn't great. Eventually, it did. But you just kind of look at. You can't take Notre Dame. Is Marcus Freeman a bad coach because he face planted against Northern Illinois?
No.
Like,
no.
If you are continually in the top 10, top 15, and your shortcoming is that you're not winning titles, you better be real careful.
But I don't think
because that's just like Nebraska getting rid of Pelini, but at a higher level.
Sure. And on the text line, James Franklin's the Mark Richt at Georgia. That's a fair point.
That's a really good point.
It's not natties. It's big games, though.
Yeah. No, I 100% get it.
There's only two guys in college football that have natties. There's only two guys right now. Oh, three. Sorry, three. Ryan Day.
Yeah.
There's only three guys in college football that
and
have
one
natties
of those,
right now.
Didn't Kirby win like four games? His first year, didn't he? Wasn't his first year bad?
Well, and if Ryan Day doesn't win last year, we're having the same conversation about Ryan Day. Look, everybody has national title aspirations if you're one of the top programs in college football. However, not winning a natty, like let's take Oregon for example. If Oregon doesn't win a natty this year or next year and misses out last year despite being undefeated, the narrative on Lanning is not, well, he hasn't won a natty because he's won big games. The narrative for Franklin is not that he hasn't won natties. It's that he can't win big games to get there.
Yeah.
So you are getting into the playoff. You are in the top 10 in these conversations because you beat who you're supposed to be. That course eventually runs real dry.
Kirby was 8-5 in his first year at Georgia, and a lot of folks were panicking in 2016. It was like, what do you mean? Now, he ended up obviously turning it around. But that did not go well for him. And so now Kirby is the outlier here, certainly of the, yeah, he had the one rough year and then they figured it out from there. But I'm trying to, where is that freaking schedule? There we go. Because there was a game on here that was really bad and I'm trying to remember what it was. They got pasted by Ole Miss when they were the 12th ranked team in the country, 45-14. Yeesh. Then they lost to Vandy, and then there was one other one on there. They lost to Georgia Tech. And this is coming off of Richt, who was really, really good for a very long time. Now, it worked out for them in the long run.
Totally, and Kirby got the benefit of the doubt in the first year. It's really hard to fire a coach in college football after 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, things got to be...
Oh, I know.
Like, Mike Norvell didn't get fired last year.
No, but I'm saying, like...
And I think he got a lot of benefit because he was a Saban guy, and it's like, let's try to replicate what they're doing at Bama.
But you don't know what that path is going to be. So
very true.
It's like...
I mean, Lanning's first year wasn't great.
Yeah, but it's what I always told Blazers fans when it was very clear that they were going to be tanking. I always said, you're not built for this. Because in order to, like... You have to Shawshank it. You have to be willing to crawl through the mile of crap...
You do.
...to find the light on the outside. And sometimes people get halfway and turn back around because, like, eh. But also, sometimes... That pipe's got a wall at the end, and there is no shining light.
And I think that's where we sit with Penn State.
There's a cap at the end, and you can't get out.
But is it a Penn State thing? Is it a landscape thing, or is it a Franklin thing? Because I think for a while there, you could say it's a landscape thing, and now we're out of excuses. We're out of reasons. Dude, you have a top 10 defense in college football. You're putting guys into the league.
Regularly.
You got more guys going to the league this year, and you're losing. You're losing, dropping 40? Giving up 40 to UCLA? One of the worst financially situation programs in all of college football?
Yeesh. Hard pass.
503-864-6326. Welcome for your thoughts, and we'll read some on the other side. My next question for you as we sit in the world of what to do with Arch Manning? What to do with Arch Manning. Danny's going to love what I have to say about this. We'll do that next. But first, we'll toss it to Rusty with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I say, do they make a quick addendum change to what we opened the show with?
Yeah.
I said, what was it the word I used? Unflattering neckline. I have been corrected. They said it was an ill-fitting neckline.
Ill-fitting.
Ill-fitting. So not quite as soul-crushing.
Ill-fitting. Shout out. Thanks for listening.
There you go. Matters.
We appreciate every single one last of you.
Mm.
Y'all are my favorite. Y'all are my favorite. 503-864-6326. Where was this? Do you think the portal in NIL has contributed to once great coaches who had the corner on recruiting on name alone, and now it's wide open? Yeah, absolutely. This is what I've been kind of hammering on for the last month or so as we've come into college football. And Danny, I think we're all in agreement. Most of us here at the station, I would think anybody that watches the sport would agree with it nationally as well. That's why Nick Saban doesn't coach anymore.
Yeah.
Whee! Yeah, that's why, you know, Herb's not coming back. Like, when it was paper bags and it was behind the scenes, mm-hmm. It was easy to load up on your roster. This is really hard. That's why I love Dan Lanning and what he's doing at Oregon. Because they've got the resources. And yeah, you can sit here and say, well, you know, they got all this money and that's why they can do it. Yeah, that's why. That's why they can do it. And Lanning has embraced the NIL and embrace the portal, and that's how you do it. Look, Texas A&M has more money than God, too, and look what's going on down there. We're going to have the conversation at some point this week of who's the best team in the SEC. Texas A&M, come to the stage. You might not be the one, but you are on the podium
right
now.
Ladies and gentlemen, they are top five in the AP poll.
It's amazing what happens. Like, yeah, is money a thing? Of course money is a thing.
It's not just that. It's money in the right places.
Yeah.
That's the thing that matters.
Does Oregon compete in today's world because of their NIL and Uncle Phil? Yeah, nobody's lying about that. But they also have a coach that's embracing it. Texas A&M had money for days and never had a coach that embraced it until maybe now.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo Fisher
or Sumlin
were some of the biggest frauds you ever saw at Texas A&M. If Sumlin doesn't have Johnny Manziel, like, what did you do at Texas A&M other than take money?
And look, there was a point in time when Clay Helton was at USC where I was like, give me Kevin Sumlin.
I remember that. That was the national narrative.
Like, give me Kevin Sumlin. Like, that's where I was in that.
And then you realize that he was a complete fraud.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, is NIL changed the world? The once great coaches? Totally. I don't know if Franklin is one of those dudes. You know, that's why Saban's gone. That's why Dabo's going through his issues right now. I don't know where Franklin sits in that world because his teams are good. And I don't blame him for sticking with Aller. I don't blame him.
I do. I do because it's not the first time he's done it.
Yeah.
He just done this with quarterback. Again, I'll say it again. If they have Bo Pribula, they're probably in a lot better shape. Just real quick. Do you know where Missouri is in the AP poll?
I was like, the state? I know where the state is.
The show me state, baby.
Missouri is the team that keeps winning football games and will not climb the charts. They went up
5 spots this week.
Oh, because people lost.
Well, not just that. There was like 8 teams in the top 15 that were on byes.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of the highly ranked teams in the country.
Wazoo,
were on byes.
Clearly highly ranked. I did say that to Dirt. I was like, feels pretty good when your team has a bye after
But
chaos,
also, Missouri has played absolutely nobody, but the amount of points that they're putting up is bonkers.
Their schedule's about to get real.
Well, it goes, coming up, Bama, Auburn, Vandy, A&M. And then Mississippi State, which is now no longer.
And Vandy looked okay until they did not.
Yes. And then Oklahoma, Arkansas. So we're going to find out about Missouri very quickly. But Missouri's right there. They're at number 15 right now. Bo Prabula has 1,200 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's completing 76% of his passes. And he's run for 121 yards and 3 touchdowns, too. So he's responsible for 12 touchdowns, 3 picks, and completing 76% of his passes.
The only question is when Missouri's down in a game by one score and they're on the drive in the fourth quarter to come back and win, say it's against Bama this weekend, mm-hmm. does he throw a pick? Because if he throws a pick, then I think it's apples. I think it's they both suck. Not they both suck, but you know what I mean, that you'd be in the same situation. Because remember, we talk about this, dude. Throwing a pick in the fourth quarter on your drive is what separates the elite from the non-elite. Go ask Sam Darnold. Well, how that turned out for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, go ask Drew Aller how that turned out for him.
But that's the thing is, we've seen Aller do it at literally going into that game, that whole week. Harris, what did I say?
Drew Aller's going to throw a bad pick.
And I'm not Nostradamus. I had just seen this story so many freaking times. That duck is going to come. Meh. At every single big game. There are very few things in sports with players where you just know either they're going to be great and get it done or they are going to fail. He is a guy you know is going to fail, and I hate that for him. I genuinely do. That has to suck to be that guy.
It sucks to know you suck? Is that what you're saying?
You know what I mean? But like,
ouch.
I'm serious, though. Like, knowing that you're not that guy, but here's the thing. When you are that guy and you finally do get it, you know what I mean? Then
that feels great.
It's super cool. But guess what?
What's my example of that? Go ask Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Feels pretty good, man.
We need to carve out some time either today or tomorrow for Baker's MVP
conversation.
Because he's the most important player in football right now.
One could argue Joe Burrow.
Well, he's not playing.
But I understand what you mean.
Like, that's where that's at. But as it pertains to this in the world of where things are, the mistakes you get wrong can hurt you so much more than the ones that you get right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the things you get right. If you get something very important wrong, it can be like Drew Aller this year is completing. He's at 963 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's run for 147 yards. So his stats are all behind Prabula. But Penn State has played at least better competition and obviously against Oregon.
Well, I don't know if that's true. Penn State's played nobody.
They played Oregon.
Outside of that.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, outside of that, UCLA isn't even best team that they've played of Oregon.
But Missouri's schedule is a joke.
Okay.
But there's a 400-yard difference and a 10% difference in completion percentage. It's like, that's a pretty big pill to swallow in the sense of like production. So if you're trying to compare those two guys, mm-hmm. if you've got Prabula, who's not going to be out there in number one, he'll use his legs a little bit. Number two, he's got a little more moxie to him as far as like, he doesn't have to try to save the game in the fourth quarter because he's not going to blow it in the first two quarters.
That's something Aller really doesn't possess right now is the moxie, is the swag.
He had it in the fourth quarter.
He did, but it took four quarters to come out. It took you as a caged animal to come out.
What was it?
And to be good
17?
In college football, you have to be ready to go from the jump.
He was 8 of 17, I think, in the first half. It was something disgusting before he figured it out. It was like there was just nothing there. And again, credit to Oregon. Credit to Oregon. But also, Aller was, I want to say at halftime against UCLA, he was like 6 of 8 for like 96 yards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or that might have been Bo Nix's line. At halftime against the Broncos, I can't remember I'm struggling to keep my first half disappearing quarterbacks out. They're getting them all juggled up, and we'll talk about that game. Holy crap!
I know,
but yeah, no. If you talk about like the world of where college football is at, when we had Danny Cannell on, we've had other guys on college football. We've all said the same thing. This is the most out of control, no regulator, no governor. College football season we've ever had.
Yep, and it continued down in the swamp as Texas goes down to Florida, and I asked that next question. What to do with Arch Manning? Is it an Arch situation, or is the problem bigger at hand? We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan. Coming up on hour number deuce, we'll ask the question, what to do with Oregon State? Duck quarterback performance in the
Burn
NFL.
It to the ground.
Duck quarterbacks in the NFL will start in Cleveland. your Seattle Mariners, Danny, and then a fun little web gem. So there's a loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere for that.
That happens, baby.
But I asked the question in our theme today of what to do with. I almost said what it do with, but I didn't want to steal from the great Isaac Robb. What to do with the Texas Longhorns. More importantly, what to do with Arch Manning. And I'll send you this, Danny, that it might surprise you, but I want you to hear me out on this. Yes, there was two interceptions from Arch Manning yesterday. However, that's the best I've seen Arch play all year. It's the best I've seen him play all year. I know the clock runs zero and he threw it to the ground. Look, there's a lot of things that did not go well for Arch Manning, but there have been a lot of things that have not gone well for him all season. There were some throws in that game.
The bar is the floor?
The bar is the floor, unfortunately. There were some throws in that game that looked pretty nice.
So if you take his two interceptions away and you take those two throws out, he's 16 of 27. He completed 59% of his passes.
I know, but there were moments that I saw him that he looked better than I've seen him all year.
But that's...
Bar's the floor, I get it.
That's what I mean. And I know...
I don't want to be an apologist of Arch Manning.
But you're going to because you like Arch, and that's okay.
Well, I don't like him as much as I used to.
There it is.
You know, because reality is reality. New information gives me new perception.
Because Lagway looked infinitely better.
But what I'm saying is, for college football, we all should be rooting for Arch to be good.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think he elevates college football to another level if Arch Manning is good?
See, to me, it's like one of those, you know.
Whether you hate him or love him, I think he's great. It's like Yankees in
right,
baseball.
It's like the playoffs are always better when the Yankees are in it, or you when the Celtics and the Lakers are in it.
Ohio State has been a pain in my ass my entire life from Rose Bowl days of just like me hating the Big Ten my entire life. But college football is better when Ohio State is good.
See, I've always disagreed with that sentiment, number one, just as it pertains particularly to Ohio State, because I hate that institution. But in general, because... And I'll give you the most recent example of why. Indiana-Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals was better for basketball and better for the league than Boston-LA. Because it was about the basketball, it was about the storylines, it was about what mattered. And even though ESPN and ABC tried to drive home talking about literally anything but the game, everybody else said, shut up, we want this.
I agree, but I think that is more about the issues that the NBA has as a whole.
I think it's sports in general. The NFL does not care if it's Giants, Rams.
Well, the NFL is the exception to all rules.
But it's also, that to me is where it makes the most sense. Not the NFL, but it's like, you highlight your best products no matter where they are. It's lazy to do it otherwise.
Agreed. You know, we agree that the national media is probably going to take a little bit away from Oregon beating Penn State. I don't think they should, because that game was a hell of a game, and I think that Penn State team I saw is a national title contender. They might have lost to Oregon, but that team I saw was pretty good if Drew Aller could figure it out. But I'm asked on the chat line, you know, when does the media take the Ohio State win over Texas negatively towards Ohio State? The answer is right now.
I've been arguing that since the jump. If you've listened to me for the past 3 weeks, and I tweeted out earlier this weekend, there is no reason Ohio State should be the top-ranked team in the country. There is no argument you can pitch me where that is remotely true.
Well, and I will push back on that, because Ohio State, the one thing I asked of them is, where's this offense? And they showed it to me. I don't care if you're playing Minnesota. That offense came alive.
Who did Miami play?
Wow.
Who has Miami played?
Florida State. Notre Dame, South Florida.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what have they done?
Win.
Okay.
Convincingly in all of them. The score, and we'll talk Mario tomorrow, the score in that Florida State game is not indicative of that game.
No.
That game was done.
That game's done.
That was a proper ass whooping.
Yeah. What Cristobal did, he went full Pep Guardiola, to give you a little soccer love here. He parked the bus and said, we're done here. See you later, bye.
But what to do with Arch at Texas? I think you start looking at, I think you start him every game. But if things go off the rails and it's the second half and you're behind, I think you bench the kid. I think you see how he develops from that. I'll tell you what, Arch is coming back next year. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
He's not going to.
And because you know he's coming back next year, see how the kid handles adversity, and a different adversity from getting whooped on the field. See how the kid handles losing the spot. You know, get the spot back. Start him. I'm not saying bench him, like don't play him at all. But start him, and if things start looking bad, when you go down as much as they were against Florida, then I think you put him on the bench and see how he reacts to it.
There's some very similar storylines between Texas and Penn State. at coaches with Franklin and Sark, at quarterback with Arch and Aller. Their defenses are supposed to be fantastic, and you let a Florida offense that has been inept all season.
Struggling offense.
They just beat you up. When push came to shove and Florida had to go, all right, it's man time, they manhandled Texas's front seven.
They did.
And I was not prepared for that. I was like, well, here's Texas's chance because Florida's offense is pretty inept, and they're starting to, like, they scored, and they scored, and they scored, and they weren't keeping the momentum, but you're like, can Florida score enough? And then it was time to death march them. They just mauled them, and I went, oh, this is a problem. And it's the exact same thing UCLA did to Penn State. Is it time to death march them? Yep. Here we go.
Yeah, it is. And look, as much as Arch has struggled this year, and we're all going to look at Arch because of the name on the back of his jersey, Texas has got a Sark problem right now, in my opinion. You know, I don't think this all lands on the quarterback. I think this lands on, to your point, Florida's offense has been really, really struggling. Lagway has been bad.
And he was great
Of all the big quarterbacks that we talked to and we've screamed to the high heavens, the Nussmeyers, the Klubnicks, the Howlers, Lagway's looked the worst of all of them. And where'd this defense go? You know, that's why it can't all sit on Arch. It can't. This is a Sark situation, and I know I am probably one of the first people to always bang on Sark. I've never been a Sark guy, never have, never will be, so I'm probably a little biased in this conversation. But this, for me, is a Sark issue more so than an Arch issue. If Arch is with Lane Kiffin, Arch plays better.
I disagree. I think Arch is a Duraller, and we heard about this stuff when Arch came out, like, maybe a fake star, maybe two fake stars. Maybe he was actually just a high three-star quarterback. But some services had him at four, and I believe one had him as a five. And I think that perhaps there's a lot of that to this. And there was so much juice and investment in the name and the brand. And look, we had our questions with Quinn Ewers, who was a legitimate five-star. The gap between Quinn and Arch is a canyon.
503-864-6326. That question was just asked. Do we owe Quinn Ewers an apology?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Absolutely, we do.
Yes.
100% we do.
Quinn even dinged up, because he's been dinged up his last 2 years at Texas, what is a significantly better quarterback than Arch.
Quinn Ewers, at this point, the way I look at it, to give you like a hot take off the cuff, might be the third best quarterback in the history of Texas, behind Colt McCoy and Vince Young.
I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far. There's probably somebody else in there that I'm not thinking of, like a Major Applewhite or something, if I'm looking at bowl wins and stuff like that. But yes, looking at this team now, yes, to this texter's point, you are absolutely correct.
Yes.
We owe Quinn Ewers a giant apology. Because I'll tell you what, if Quinn Ewers is on this Texas team, they still might have lost to Ohio State, but that offense looks a lot better. I will give him that. That is a bang on Arch. However, I think it's more of a Sark thing. When we come back, I'll ask the same question. What do we do with Oregon State? What do we do? Is this the it?
Shovels.
Is this the it? Is this all we got? We'll see. We'll do that next. Loaded hour number two. Don't go anywhere. Hang out with us. We're having a great time. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.